Hi, everyone. Back to the interview that I am doing with Colonel Billy Fay Woodward. And so let's continue where we kind of left off. Billy, you were talking a little bit about how the children are in the inner earth. And I asked you a couple questions about, you know, the sexes and all that was the very beginning. But I also asked you, when children are in the inner earth, better known as the hollow earth, when does their education start? So yesterday you had mentioned the fact that it starts at birth. So let's talk about that a little bit more, and then I have some more questions.
Okay. Well, like basically the education starts as soon as they open their eyes, so to speak, and continues on indefinitely. You never stop learning. You're always learning something. As far as the now, another thing, the school in the interior is not like schools on the surface. In schools on the surface, you learn your basics, your adding, subtraction, multiplication, and then you go into your world world history and all this other thing, science and all that. In the interior, it's not necessary to have mathematics or anything like that, because everything, how do I put this, they're beyond that. They don't have to worry about mathematics or anything like that, because they create everything from thought and from, manifesting it. So your mathematics wouldn't even come into play. As far as world history, that's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's been a lie.
Yeah, because it's been a lie, so you don't even worry about that. We learn about other star systems, other planets in the solar system and stuff like that, but who are also of the fifth-dimensional persuasion. And so it's not like, learning. We just learn how to be creative. Mm-hmm. Learn how to be, our pursuits like music and gardening and stuff like this. It's basically life. That's the school. They don't go to an actual building and learn a whole bunch of stuff. It's actual life. It's like a living school.
Kind of reality.
Living reality. You're right. Living reality. Mm-hmm. And so all this other stuff that they have on the surface doesn't even come into play, because our society doesn't deal with the problems that are on the surface. So
sounds like, Billy, that the hollow earth is a very peaceful, way of life that...
It most certainly is.
No one is in a competition, basically, with anybody else.
No, because everything is one. Everything is, they speak with telepathy, mind-to-mind communications, and basically they don't have to worry about mundane problems or mundane, as they do on the surface. It's totally... Everything in the interior is contrary to everything you've ever been taught.
Well, but that would make more sense.
Yeah,
because,
it does make more sense.
Okay, it would make more sense because we're taught here how to be greedy, compete with others, think that we never have enough. We're very materialistic. We think we have to be sick. We think we have to worry. We have to be sad. We have to be stressed.
And none of that is true.
Yes, and that's what we have been taught for eons and eons and eons. So now what it sounds like, Billy, is with the Hollow Earth, we're going to do a total revamp of whoever is going to end up in Hollow Earth, because, like you said earlier, not everybody is probably going to get to Hollow Earth, okay?
Right. Some are going to be going off-world.
Okay.
Some are going to be going to off-world, into ships. And some of them are going to be going to actual planets or star systems or galaxies.
Now, is that going to be the people's choices, or is that just going to be the way it is?
That's their inner desire.
Okay.
It's the inner desire of their subconscious mind holds the answers to every problem you could ever conceive. And all the answers lie within the subconscious mind of the human.
Okay.
And when you join the subconscious mind with the conscious mind, and then you begin thinking with both minds as one, there is nothing you cannot accomplish.
So the people so let me get this straight. When this all occurs, and we really don't know when exactly it's going to occur.
Right.
So when it occurs, will there be people left on the outer earth, or will there not be any people left or animals or anything left on outer earth? They're either going to go to hollow earth or to other places.
Well, the ones that are slated to go off-world will go off-world, and from whether it be by being teleported into a ship, transport vessel, or whether they go straight to the planet, the other planet, or whether they go into inner or hollow earth. Inner earth is the Agarthian network within the earth's crust. And the hollow earth is where the central sun shines down on the inner surface of the shell of the mantle, if you want to call it that, and where the population of the hollow earth live and thrive and have their being. And in the people in the cavern world, such as Shambhala and other lesser cities throughout the Earth's crust, such as the fairy city or the elfin cities, or because you know elves and fairies and leprechauns, they are a race as well, and they're not mythical; they are real. They are a civilization that lives in the Earth's crust, and they have a certain level in the Earth's crust where they have their being. And, of course, the entrances to where leprechauns are located is located in the island of Ireland, in the land of Ireland. So, and there is a great, great entrance there. But it's a leprechaun entrance. And then you have the fairies, which are placated all over the earth. You don't see them because you don't want to see them. And ones that do want to see them, they'll see them. But see, they have to realize, they have to, when they raise their vibrational level and your consciousness level, that's when you start seeing the fairies once again. When you were children, you probably saw them. But mm-hmm. as you grew up, you supposedly got higher education, and little childish thing, visions like that, you know, went out the window. However, children are more enlightened than adults are, and especially on the surface. And when they say, "Mommy, I see fairies," you know, they think there's something wrong with their kid.
Mm-hmm. So they think it's pretend.
No, it's pretend, and it's not.
Yeah.
They're actually seeing these beings flying around at night or wherever they see them. They actually see them, and they've been photographed and proven to be real, even on the surface. So, when a child says, "You know, Mommy, I'm seeing these flying little people in my room," they're not crazy. They're actually seeing them because they have such a simple mind.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we need to get back to that simple mind.
Yeah, we do. All of this reminds me of, and I'm going to ask you this question. A lot of our rhymes, our nursery rhymes, a lot of our movies that have been produced, a lot of this information has actually been made available in several different ways, like Peter Pan with Never Never Land, okay?
Yes.
Could have actually been determined as Hollow Earth if people would have thought that way, you know, because basically there's the fairies and there's the people who, you know, don't want to grow up and who need to be what they need to be. Then we had, you know, the Center of the Earth movie where
right.
people thought it was just a sci-fi, you know.
Right.
And then we have, you know, more we have, you know, different movies remake of Journey to the Center of the Earth. And then, of course, we had Avatar, and we have Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So all of these movies are actually depicting, from what I gather, the true history of Hollow Earth is how it's been shown here on the outer Earth. Would that kind of be fair to say that?
Very close, yes. Avatar depicts, when you saw the gigantic trees down
mm-hmm.
inside there, the trees on the inner surface of the Earth are that big and bigger. So that's a good depiction of the what Hollow Earth would look like, and the vibrant colors that it portrayed in the on that world. It also can be subjective as far as the Hollow Earth colors as well, because there are vibrant colors down there. And you have flowers, and you have all kinds of greenery and all this, and plants and different kind of orchids that you wouldn't find on the surface. And they have very brilliant, vibrant colors, and almost indescribable beauty on the inside, because you know you look everywhere you look. Is Mother Nature, and the only structures that are in and around Mother Nature are round shaped structures. They're not square. They don't have roofs on them, and they don't have anything that's going to collect dust in corners and stuff like that, because there are no corners. Everything's built in a circular pattern. All of the structures inside are either circular or pyramidal shaped. In their construction, of course, in the crystalline pyramid, there's also you won't find any foreign matter in them as well, because it just doesn't happen. But in the round structures, such as the residences of the people, they're all built in a circle, so no dust can settle, and there's no roofs on the round structures, because there's no reason to have roofs on the roof, because you don't have to deal with the harsh sunlight or anything like that as you do on the surface of the planet. It is more of a smoky color, the sun. That's why there was one book put out called The Smoky God. They depicted it as being less brilliant than the sun on the outside, so therefore they termed it as the smoky god. And it wasn't as bright, and it was kind of dull looking, but it still lights the interior of the planet on the inside part of the shell, and also sustains the life that is there on it, upon it. So I hope that helped.
Yeah. Would it, Billy, be safe to say that a lot of the ideas of the movies that have been shown to us have actually come from the idea from people who are probably not necessarily right, you know, been here on the surface of the outer Earth forever, but maybe experience a lot of other knowings, or having to, like, maybe met with somebody who maybe came from Hollow Earth a long time ago and put these kind of ideas out. Would that kind of be safe to say?
I would say, you know, as far as people coming from the inner Earth, like the subterranean cities, Talos, things of this nature, very good possibility that you're correct in that assumption. The people in the Hollow Earth do not come to the surface. They hardly, as a rule, they basically keep to themselves. And there was only a couple people that have ever come from the Hollow Earth, per se, that are actually here now. And that would have been me and my sister.
Okay.
Other, as far as the inner Earth, you know, subterranean worlds and caves and stuff like this, there has been cases where there have been people from the inner realms, come to the surface. And back in the past, in history, there has been a couple children that came out, in I think it was France, and they had a greenish tinge to their a greenish hue to their skin, a boy and a girl, and after feeding them the food from the surface, they lost their pallor and took on the pallor of a flesh tone,
mm-hmm.
and they lost their greenish hue. But there has been other people that have come to the surface that are from the subterranean or Agarthian network. But as far as actual people from the what would be termed as the hollow portion of the earth, no.
Later on, as the earth does its changes,
yes.
will there be people coming from hollow earth to help the people here on the outer earth?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So yes, there will.
So this would be kind of like a first-time thing from what you're saying.
For all the ones in the hollow earth that have been planning for the emergence, the coming mm-hmm. to the surface, it'll be a first for them. They've watched events on the earth through their various visual devices for monitoring. But they have not set foot on the surface. Now, when they come up, they are going to need places that of people that are open and ready to receive them to house them when they come up. Not that they're going to need all the housing and all that, but they are going to come up as helpers, as ambassadors from the Hollow Earth, and they're going to bring with them their technology. This technology is going to be to the degree of when they get it set up, it will rid the atmosphere of all poisons that your governments have been shooting up there and are leaving through chemtrails and things of this nature. Once the atmosphere has been cleansed back to a pristine state, no aircraft will be permitted to fly and dispense any chemtrails, because once it's clean, and it's going to stay that way.
That's a really good idea.
Yes,
so.
Of course. Well, you think about this. And another thing that people would say, well, what about the man-made cities and all this, like New York, Chicago, and all these skyscrapers and all this? What's going to happen with them once everyone's been removed from the surface? Well, once that takes place, then the buildings and everything that man's creation of the third and fourth dimensions will be obliterated. There won't be any people there to worry about being hurt, because they won't be on the surface. They'll either be on a ship and on a planet, a star system, or in an Earth or hollow Earth. They will not be anyone on the surface to worry about what happens to the surface.
I guess that could be a good thing.
That's
seeing
good
how
thing.
We've seeing how we're destroying outer Earth as much as we can.
Basically, what will happen is the earthquakes will be major in proportion. Of course, there won't be anyone there to record it, because they won't be there. But the cities will topple and collapse once they're knocked over or whatever. They will basically just melt back into the earth, back to their elements and their origin, and that'll go for highways and all that too. All man-made structures that are in the world as they know it to be right now will cease to exist. And the earth will reclaim the surface. Mother Nature will reclaim the surface. And when it's all said and done, and the fifth dimensional existence is prevalent both on the surface and in the interior, That's when, if people want to come back out and be on the surface, they can. But when they come out, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden globally.
Okay, that's not a bad deal, really.
No, it's not. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
And of course, when they come out, they will be fifth-dimensional beings. They will be galactic humans, and they will be less in density. In other words, they will glow, literally, from their cells or their body. They will be lighter. They will be lighter to the degree of, not lighter in weight, but lighter in what would be termed as the auric field that some people see on people. However, it will be like when they look around, everyone will look the same.
Mm-hmm.
As far as light shining out from their beings. And you'll have a total and complete harmonious, peaceful, and joyful surface. Everything will reflect the beauty of this emerald earth. And there won't be any man-made structures to blot out the beauty there. There won't be any highways, and so naturally there won't be any cars. And everything, once everything has been put back into its natural state, then everyone can start over again as far as creating. But what they will create will be of a harmonious, peaceful and joyful state, and be most perfect. And there will not be any imperfectness around.
Well, all I can say for all that, Billy, is bring it on.
I hear you.
Like, let's do it. So let's talk a little bit more, Billy, about you. Now,
okay.
I'm sure that there are many people who ask you this question. If you have all of this knowledge, why hasn't the government come and shut you up? Why haven't they done away with you? Why do you think that is?
I feel that I'm protected.
Okay.
In fact, I was shown that I was protected. In one instance, I was, after I got out of the military, I was basically living in Mount Shasta, a little place called Hinckley, where there was a bunch of apartment complexes, and I was living there. And I heard a knock on my door one day, and there was a man, a woman, a woman and two men, dressed totally in black, completely in black. And they said, may we come in? And I said, by all means, come in. And they came in, and they said, you know who we are? And I said, oh, yes, I do. And they said, who are we? I said, well, you're termed what's called the men in black. And they said, well, that's our term, but we work for the government. And I said, not my government, you don't. And they said, well, you need to stop what you're doing, or we are prepared to take your life. And I said, honestly, I'm not really concerned about you, because I am protected. And they said, well, what would be to stop us from pulling a gun out and shooting you right now? I said, it wouldn't fire, for one thing. Secondly, walk out on the porch with me. I'll show you why that I'm protected. And of course, they looked at each other and looked at me kind of strangely. They walked out on the porch, and I said, kindly look up. They looked up, and as they looked up, there was a cloud above us, and suddenly the cloud started changing shape. And out of the bottom of this cloud dropped a vessel of immense size. I said, that's why I'm not worried about you. I am protected.
Did they decide it was time for them to leave?
Oh, yes.
I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. They said, have a nice day. And I said, I will. You too.
Yeah, they tried their bullying tactic.
Their fear and scare tactic. Well, I mean, it didn't work.
Yeah. Now you also so, when we talked.
Go ahead.
No. So they did. They left.
Yeah, they left, and I went back and I looked up in the up in the sky, and I said, "Thank you." And I turned around and walked back in my house.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that went all over the airways with these people. You know,
oh, I'm sure it did,
sure.
too. That's why I haven't been bothered.
So you, when we talked the other day, briefly, you had talked about your father, who gives you information.
Yes.
And you also talked about some kind of an entity. Is that correct?
An entity?
Well, I don't know if you call him an entity. The one that when you do your meditations and stuff, he comes through.
But that's Zora.
My father. So Zora's the father, and that's who comes through and gives you a lot of your information.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. How important is it for people to do meditation?
Well, it's not necessarily the meditation. What's important is that they reach the point where their subconscious mind and conscious mind becomes one, and they start thinking with both as one. Meditation is just a means to get there, I suppose. I don't meditate per se. All I do is basically sit and I just start raising my vibration mentally. And the devices that I make, the quartz crystal headbands, is a device that helps you to focus your energies and to start raising your vibrational levels. It's situated directly over the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the crystal, the silver, and the copper are situated directly over the third eye, which allows it to open, which in turn allows your subconscious and conscious mind to become one thinking capacity. And that's when you start seeing visions and you start seeing pictures and dreams, or lucid dreaming, if you will. But meditation is just a means to get to that particular status, if you will.
Yes, yeah, I don't do a lot of meditation either.
But I don't either.
What happens to me, and it's probably not the best thing, but I can't really do a lot about it, or I choose not to, is I will be driving my car, and I will leave from one point, and all of a sudden I'm home, and I don't know how I got there. I just went from point A to point B with nothing in between, safe and sound. So what I did, because I feel myself being lifted out, so what I did is I just simply say, if you're going to lift me out, then you need to drive the car. Don't want to hurt anybody else and don't want to hurt myself, so you need to drive the car.
Right.
So it happens to me a lot. And people in the car with me, they'll be talking and, you know, saying all kinds of stuff. And I kind of hear them, but all of a sudden I don't hear them. But it's like I'm still there, but I'm not there, and it's kind of hard to explain to people. But they just kind of lift me out, and
it's sort of like you're doing a daytime astral projection.
Right, whether you choose to or not.
Right. Well, see, when that happens, a portion of you, the part that's alert, will remain in the vehicle driving it,
mm-hmm.
and your essence will travel. And so it's nothing wrong with that because it is controlled,
mm-hmm.
you know, monitored and controlled. They're not going to let you get into an accident. So they'll basically, you know, control the vehicle. But people won't know that you're actually out there doing something. Your physical body is still in the car, but your alert part that's needed for driving the vehicle is still present. But your other part of your mind, which is your subconscious mind, is the part that travels. Your conscious mind remains with you in the vehicle.
It's really funny. Even I've noticed when I do the readings for people and I'm talking to them, and I tape my readings, okay, I will feel myself being pulled out of my body, but my readings continue. And and they're being taped. So I know they continue because nobody calls back and goes, Angie, what happened? You know, and there's not a bunch of jumbled words that come out. It's just whatever that person needs to know, that's what they get. But I'm not there at the time, you know. And it's funny because the readings are like usually a half hour, so I will forcibly pull myself back into my body just before the readings are going to end. And it's, you know, it's kind of amusing, but at the same time, it's kind of weird because most people go, yeah, all right, you know, but it's like it just happens. It's not like I sit here and go, okay, I want to leave while I'm doing a reading. Yeah, it's not like that. And I'm pretty sure, Billy, that a lot of people experience what I have just said, but I think that they don't quite know what it is, or they're really afraid to tell somebody because they don't want anybody thinking that they're weird, strange, or crazy. You know, so I think it's important that people understand that, you know, there's a lot of different, let's call it channels in your brain that can do various things. I mean, people call it multitasking, but that's usually conscious stuff. But there's a lot of channels in a person's brain that's doing all kinds of stuff all the time that we're really not aware of. Is that not true?
That's true. Okay,
Billy, you got to talk up a little bit, though, because we can hardly hear you now.
Before Zora started coming to me, I was at the ranch with Rantha.
I like that one.
So I was there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when he made the statement that he was leaving, and, of course, we were all, you know, sad he was leaving, but he said, I will be returning after my mission is completed. In a distant star system where he was destined, slated to go, but I will be returning. So while I'm gone, ponder what you have learned, and teach others. Go out and teach others. Don't remain here. Go out and teach others what you have learned, so they too can reap the benefits of my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know what happened from that point. JC panicked because she was used to a certain lifestyle and money coming in. So she freaked. And, of course, she, you know, called a special meeting that day, and all of us came to the meeting. And it says, well, Rantha decided not to leave just yet. And to me, that just didn't sound right. But and then this entity started speaking, and it wasn't the ram. Immediately, I knew it. And just, I mean, my spirit just went, bleh. You know, this is not Rantha.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like Rantha. The love is not there. The compassion is not there. It's just not Rantha. So I got up and I left. I walked. I got up in the middle of the session and got up and walked out.
Yeah, no, I've heard that about, you know, Jay-Z Knight.
I need to find something. Mailman just came, so I'm sure she's got more orders for me. And I need to go out and carry my phone out with me to make sign this thing here.
You carry your phone, and I'm going to make some statements while you're doing that. Because the first entity that I had ever heard channeled that I believed was actually Rantha. And only because it was genuine and it felt good, it resonated with me.
Absolutely.
And then, because I tell everybody, you know, because you have all kinds of people who claim to be channelers, and I know better than that, but I'm not going to bust anybody's bubble because that's not my job.
Right.
But I won't deal with them like you. I will walk out, or I won't do anything. I won't even go the next time. But I had heard, because I've not, you know, listened to Rumpf in a long time, you know, because some changes happened, I just didn't. But I had heard that that's what had gone on, and that Jay-Z Knight now has a heart problem.
Okay.
And Rantha actually offered to fix it, and she refused. She said she would fix it herself, which is all ego. And anybody who is going to do any kind of a channeling cannot do it in ego. It's not coming from the right place, and it's coming from that person's mind. And I need people to understand that, because there are many, many people out there who claim to be these great channelers that are truly not, and they're just telling people what they want them to believe so that they look like a hero. So my warning to people who are listening to this is be very careful with the ones who claim to be channeling and see if it resonates with you. Because if it does not, then don't get caught up in that.
Absolutely.
Because too many people do. Okay.
And see, when I was after Zora started coming to me, I would go to different places, and he would speak. And of course, I told them from the beginning. I said, the entity coming to me is my father, Zora, and he's from the Hollow Earth. And I don't want you to worship me. I don't want you to worship him. I want you to come to your own conclusions, and what resonates for you, and and go with that. Because the day you start bowing down to me is the day I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Right, and that's truly what people need to know, because they're being caught up with all of this stuff, and
they're being duped. They are.
And it's like, don't allow yourself to do that. You have all of these abilities. You have all these own powers for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Rely on them. Don't rely on what other people are telling you unless it really, really resonates.
That's right.
So let's ask your father, Zora, if he would actually like to come through and do a little talking, and I will be quiet if he does, and he can just, talk with the people who are listening.
Oh, sure. I don't mind that. Let me put this stuff away here.
Okay.
And I will
during his talk, Billy, is he going to do that meditation thing that you did the other night when you were being interviewed?
The meditation thing?
What, there was a meditation thing that you did with one of your interviews. I did not get to hear it.
Oh, on the teleconference call.
Yes.
I don't know if he's going to do that or not.
Okay, so we'll just let him talk and see what he has to say.
Okay, I'll let him come through. When he started coming through me, another thing that happened was when we were at before I let him through, I'm going to tell you what happened. We went to Mount Shasta, and at the time I was living there. And we went down to the park, and they were having a rainbow gathering from all over the world. People from all over the world were there for the rainbow gathering. And I'm sure you've heard of what that is. He was there. He was talking, and he was talking to a group of people that live in Mount Shasta and American. But there was other people from other countries also at the gathering, and they were in their little groups around the park. And so he started talking, and people started asking him questions about Talos and the city that was right beneath their feet, basically, and also the other Agarthian network cities and then talking about Hollow Earth. And he was answering the questions, right and left, and he started talking, as he was talking, more and more people from these other groups started coming over. And these are people that spoke a foreign language, and the other groups wouldn't be able to understand them because they were talking in their own language, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and all this, and of course there was interpreters with each group that would interpret for the when they had the speakers and all this. But anyway, they were there, and then. I was told later what occurred. They said that Zora was speaking, and then all at once, one of the people says, "Well, do you need an interpreter?" And they said, "Oh, no. We understand every single word in our own language."
Cool.
And he was speaking English to one group, but the others were hearing it in their own native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've been told that many times that's what happens whenever Zora is talking to me. If there's someone that is from another country that doesn't speak English, they actually hear the message in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just fascinating.
it is.
I don't know how that can be done, but apparently, it can be done because it's being done. But and Ramtha's the same way. Whenever he speaks, a lot of times when he's talking, there's people from all over the world come to his, come to hear him. In the way back in the beginning, there was, you know, people from Japan and China and all over, and they didn't speak English, but yet, and they had interpreters with them, but the interpreters found that they were out of a job because they were hearing everything he was saying in their own native tongue. So it's not like they needed interpreters, you know. Why are we even here if we're not needed, you know? But I guess they were under the impression that they might be needed, so they went, you know, came with them. But in that case, there was no interpreters were needed because the ram was speaking in their tongue as well. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought I'd throw that in there because, you know, that did happen on several occasions, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to go ahead and be quiet. I hear you, Dad. And just shut up and let him come in. So if you'll just go ahead and do what you're going to do there, I'll go ahead and allow him to speak.
Yeah, all I was going to do is let people understand that we are going to be hearing from Zora, and we can do probably about 20 minutes of really good stuff. So whenever he is ready.
Indeed, beloved masters, how be you this day?
We're good.
Nancy.
Yes, hello.
And how be you?
I'm doing well and welcome.
Wonderful. You have some questions for me?
Yes, a lot of people, I'm sure, who listen to the program are going to wonder if there's any kind of time frames that the people can start to prepare themselves better than what they're doing right now.
Time frames.
For some.
Surface time.
Right.
As there is no time in the hollow earth, you have what is called periods you're speaking of. Well, the more they get ready for what is called the coming change or ascension, if you will, what is of Mother Earth, or some people call it Gaia, but it's also more called Terra, which is also the Earth. You have what is called the preparation would be for them to start going within themselves, realizing who they are, because they are what is termed as unlimited beings and galactic beings in the making. So you have by getting together and communing together, coming together, and for them to start raising their vibrational levels and conscious levels, that is how they are getting ready for the ascension. Your ascension began in what is called in the year of 2006, in what is called the month of January, is when Mother Earth started her ascension toward what is termed as the fifth dimension. At that time, in January of 2006, there was a dimensional shift in the earth, in all of the earth, to the fourth dimension, which is what you are in now. Third dimension is past. past history. Your fourth dimension is present. And soon you will be going to what is called the fifth. You will be catching up with the Hollow Earth inhabitants, your brothers and sisters. The world beneath your feet, 800 miles beneath your feet, is a thriving civilization, highly advanced in both what is called life. And their existence is one of harmony, one of peace, and one of joy. And that was the message that Ramtha originally brought to the peoples of Yelm. However, he also has what is called a brother, who is Rameses. Rameses sounds similar to Ramtha, however, far more different in attitude and demeanor and this term I'm looking for, the understanding. And he mimicked what is called his brother, Ramtha, at the time that he left. And he brought dissension, brought fear, brought confusion, disinformation, if you will, contrary to what the Ram was teaching. And people ate it up because it was something new. However, it was not truth that was being brought forth. They were told to build shelters and to start stockpiling what is termed weapons, to defend themselves. Why would Ramtha teach such foolishness? It would not be, and it is not. Ramtha does not condone violence in any way, shape, or form, and neither do I. Did that help?
It does. It's very important, Zora, for people to understand that this is a time to get back to love, truth, and sharing. Is that not true?
That is true. You must remember, you have what is called Mother Nature. Mother Nature has been crying out to you endlessly to stop poisoning her forests, to stop poisoning the waters of your beloved ocean, the elixir of life, to stop poisoning yourselves. This is, I cannot stress this more intently. You must get back to Mother Nature. You must hold steadfast to the love that she is giving you. Mother Nature and the Earth gives you all the power you could ever want or need. And it is all free. It is not to be charged for, because it's free. The sun gives you light and warmth. Not solar radiation, light, and solar radiation warmth, but warmth of light. The sun is not hot. It is light, dense in matter and thought. It is comprised of all the thoughts of all the light beings that live within her. And all of this light emanates from her, warming Mother Earth. The heat you feel on the surface of this planet is what is called ultraviolet light being filtered through the atmospheres of your planet and you have what's called centrifugal force of the planet, which creates the heat. It is more in some places, less in others, because you have what is called a depletion of the ozone in certain areas due to the poisons and the that you are shooting into the atmosphere on a daily basis through fossil fuels and such. But once you have stopped doing this and the air has been cleansed, you will also do away with your diseases that are placating your planet. Your governments are the ones that are poisoning you and killing you off. And the premise they're using is the term overpopulation. It could not be further from the truth. Mother Earth can sustain billions and billions of people. And the inner Earth, or hollow Earth, can accommodate billions as well. It is a false assumption that your government is resting their beliefs upon. Mother Earth is quite capable and able to sustain you in whatever amount of population you get or you birth. So, and the hollow earth as well. People do not die. There is no death in hollow earth. They say, well, if you do not die, where do they go? They go wherever they choose to go, because they have that ability within them. We are what is termed unlimited beings, just as you are.
It's time that people understand that they're unlimited beings.
Indeed.
So, and the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. But, Zora, when these changes continue to occur, will the systems start to collapse, like we're kind of already seeing, like the banking systems collapse, the real estate system has collapsed? Will our government collapse along with all of it?
Everything that is on the surface presently that is harmful, bringing harm to Mother Earth and its people, will be exposed and will also come to naught. They are not in control, even though they think they are. They are not. They think they are inheritors of the earth. They are not. The earth are inheritors of the people. And it is time for them to wake up. And it is time for them to stop killing the sisters and brothers of the sea, the cetaceans, or the aquatic peoples. It is time for them to stop killing the entities upon the earth, such as your trees. Your trees are sentient beings. Do you know this?
Yes, actually there is a few stories about how the trees came to be, and it's through the Native American Indians' thoughts that I learned.
Indeed. The Native American Indians understood Mother Nature far better than the white man. They were one with nature. They grew their crops according to Mother Nature's timetable, not white man's timetable. This is why their reservations are full of gardens, and they are Mother Nature is blessing them in bountiful crops because they understand her. They are one with her. And this is what the peoples of the cities and the towns and the countries need to realize.
Okay.
I guess I must end this.
Yeah.
However, I hope that you have learned. So, and I bless you greatly, beloved woman. I will allow my child to enter back, and I will bid you farewell.
Thank you.
I know we will talk again.
Yes, we will.
And I look forward to it.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Indeed.